This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is sponsored by Magic Jack for Business. You own a small business, you know the phone is your lifeline. Magic Jack for Business is a really cool way to get phone service reliability for a lot less money. Starts at $14.99 per line. There's no nickel and dime. I mean, you get all kinds of powerful features. So because you're a listener, you're going to get 2 free months of service when you sign up at magicjackforbusiness.com/ducttape. So that's just magicjackforbusiness.com/ducttape. Be one of the first to sign up and you'll get a phone free too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Vivica Von Rosen. She is the author of at least 4 books, maybe there's some I don't know about, on LinkedIn, and spends all of her time helping people learn about LinkedIn, and we're going to talk about her latest book, LinkedIn, 101 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand, Grow Your Network, and Build Your Business. She has a co-author, Dana Steele, as well. So, Vivica, thanks for joining us.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. I've been a fan for such a long time. As you know, every time I see you and fawn all over you, so it's an honor to be here.
Well, fortunately, we do get to run into each other occasionally out there. It's a treat for me. So I want to start with the my favorite mixed metaphor, the 800-pound elephant in the room. So I heard somebody say that, actually, and, you know, I mean, an 800-pound elephant's not actually that big. In fact, they're born that big, but that's why I love
that. It's big to us.
So actually, what I want to ask you is LinkedIn really a useful tool still?
It really is still a useful tool. Sometimes I feel like they're doing their most to not make it a useful tool, but yes, it is still a useful tool.
Well, I know you coach a lot of people on it, and obviously this book is chock full of very specific ways. And so a couple of that you really focus on are, you know, I don't really think necessarily about LinkedIn for branding, but that's a big part of this book, isn't it?
It really is, you know, and they're LinkedIn for lead generation, LinkedIn for marketing. In fact, the first book was LinkedIn Marketing an Hour a Day, which the reason I wrote this book was, A, no one's got an hour a day for LinkedIn, except for maybe my virtual assistant. And B, it was such a heavy, weighty book. And I realized that people were kind of avoiding being active on LinkedIn, not just because of my first book, but because it seemed like it was such an elephant. It was such a monster, right? And so this book is really focused primarily on creating your brand on LinkedIn. Lead generation is a natural follow-up. You know, social selling and content marketing is a natural follow-up, and those books shall follow. But for right now, it's create a brand so that you can create that credibility, if nothing else, because when you Google someone, when someone is searching for you and they Google your name on LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile is going to show up probably first, second, or third. And if your LinkedIn profile, i.e. your personal brand, is weak or non-existent, then you lose credibility. And so I thought this is a ground store thing. Whether you are new to LinkedIn or you've been on LinkedIn for a long time and using it actively, you need to make sure that you're creating a strong personal brand. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, certainly an author or a speaker, but even an intrapreneur, within, you know, an employee within a company that is still very much about building their brand. Coca Sexton wrote the foreword for us. And of course, he was still at LinkedIn when he wrote it, knowing he was going to jump off into his new business, his social selling business. And he did such a great job of positioning his personal brand as a social selling expert that when he left LinkedIn, like, the red carpet was laid out for him. So not that he didn't work his butt off, but he had done such a good job that the connections were there, the media was there, the business was there the second he left LinkedIn. And so that's why I wrote this book. And it's very, very easy to read. I mean, it's literally a tip a day. Like, if you don't have the 1 minute to read that page, then you probably don't have time to run a business.
So, you know, your point is really a good one about the profile showing up, you know, for most people, at least on page one. And I think that for, you know, a lot of people even kind of say, well, my clients don't go there looking for, you know, how to hire somebody like me or to buy a product like my company sells. But they, you know, they typically do look at three or four bits of information, data points yep. when they do searching. And if that happens to be one that shows up, that can be a really useful tool. By the way, I think LinkedIn profiles actually are do follow links too. And maybe I'm getting too down in the weeds SEO, but I think that can be reason enough to do it as well. So, yeah. Let's jump to the profile then, because you see a lot. Of course, everybody says, well, first step, build a good profile. A lot of stuff is obvious. You know, maybe have a picture. Maybe have a picture that's a decent picture, you know, things like yeah. that. But are there some tips and tricks beyond the obvious that make it more compelling? I see sometimes, instead of talking about their history, I see sometimes yeah. people will jump right into almost a call to action, you know, about right. why they're so incredible. I mean, what do you find is really the most effective? And obviously, I'm sure it's different for different reasons, but what are some of the tips on that?
Yeah, so as far as branding is concerned, and then I'll move more into engagement, because you're absolutely right. Things like the background image. It's crazy, as a business, you know, business person, whether you're an entrepreneur, solopreneur, small business owner, sales professional, marketing professional, you know, software engineer, you wouldn't dream, if you've got yourself positioned on social media, Twitter, Facebook, of having a business Twitter account, a business Facebook account, business page, without having that banner image or that background image. And yet on LinkedIn, probably 20% of people actually have a background image. And then the 20% of the people who do don't have anything branded to their business or their company. Now, I get that in some cases, you know, you work for Oracle and you need Oracle's permission to put the Oracle logo up there. Got it. No problem. But if you have your own business, or if it's a smaller business and you're comfortable, you know, with that marketing team, then please get a banner image, a background image that's branded to yourself and your company. So that's a kind of a no-brainer. A mistake, and someone's teaching people to do this, and it's driving me nuts. A mistake that I see all the time is people having something other than their last name in the last name field. Mm-hmm. And it's fine if you've got an MA or an MBA or, you know, PhD. That's not what I'm talking about. And I did this, and this is why I know it's wrong, and this is why I don't want you to do it, because it could cost you like thousands. It cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Was Vivica Von Rosen : LinkedIn expert. And that goes against LinkedIn's end user agreement. And what happens is LinkedIn essentially blacklists your profile under any kind of search, your name, but also your keywords. And so please don't do that. First name, last name, that's all you need. Good picture. The professional headline, that's that little, you know, usually says title at company. You can expand upon that. Yeah. What do you do? Who do you, you know, and who do you do it for? And if you've got room, why should someone hire you? But to your point, the summary section, it's usually one or the other, right? It's usually, that's the 2000 characters that describes who you are, what you do, and who you serve, expanded. People either go for the resume, nothing at all, or it's right into the sales pitch. And this is your opportunity for people to get to know you. So as far as the branding side, and really what I focus on with my book, is tell people a little bit about yourself. Tell people about your history, and tell people why your experience makes you a good person for them to do business with. Give them some test, you know, you can pop a little testimonial in there. Give them, if you work with a more of a male audience, give them some stats, give them some figures, give them some conversion rates, right? Give them a reason to keep reading into the rest of your profile. Of course, share media that adds credibility, whether it's an interview on YouTube, whether it's, you know, an article on some online magazine, or maybe it's a real magazine, take a picture of it, upload a PDF. There's numerous ways that you can use media to prove your, you know, who you say you are. And then finally, go for the recommendations. Have other people say how great you are. If just those few things alone, which should take you less than an hour period, not an hour a day, less than an hour period, will really create a stronger brand on LinkedIn. And then, to speak to your point, John, you know, buy the person a drink first. Don't just go like, hey, thanks for connecting on LinkedIn. This is what I do. You sound like one of those like political commercials, right? Don't do that. Take a breath. Give the person a minute or two to get to know you. Maybe go into their profile, find out more about them, take a look at their activity, like focus on your actual prospect instead of expecting them to focus on you, right? See what they're posting, see if you can reply to some of their updates. If they're writing published posts, then by all means engage with them there. And eventually, when you get a little engagement with that prospect, then you can go for the ask. But I think the thing that people do wrong, whether it's, you know, inviting someone to connect and in the invitation trying to pitch their product or service, or, you know, connecting to someone and the next letter is a pitch for their product or service, or, you know, paying for in-mails and all it is pitch, pitch, pitch. And then people say LinkedIn doesn't work. Well, no, it doesn't work that way, because it doesn't work that way in any way, shape, or form on any platform in business at all. So get to know who your prospect is, begin that engagement process, and yes, eventually, of course, go for the ask, which, by the way, should always be over the phone, not, you know, necessarily just through LinkedIn Messenger.
Exactly. So, and unfortunately, we'll jump to that in another. There's people selling these kind of engagement campaigns, you know, that are meant to kind of do that. And they all, you know, ultimately look and kind of feel and smell the same. Let's talk about content. Obviously, content is the big hairy beast that a lot of particularly small business owners are just, you know, really wrestling with. So, and obviously LinkedIn now is another place that people are told to put content.
Right.
So now that everyone is generating long form content on LinkedIn, you know, is there a way to use it to truly generate interest?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things about content on LinkedIn, and you're right. The main differentiator is the good stuff and the bad stuff. Most of the stuff on LinkedIn Publisher is junk. And so having just a good post will differentiate you from everybody else out there. I mean, you can think about the newsletters that are landing in your, like, just think about the newsletters that are landing in your email box right now. Which ones do you open regularly? You don't open up the junk. You know, you've already got them alerted for spam. You open up the 2 or 3 out of 200 or 300 blog posts or newsletters that from trusted thought leaders that you love their stuff. So that's number one, write good content. Easier to say than to do, for sure. Number two, it's not one and done. I think that is the biggest mistake people do on LinkedIn, right? They write their post, they go to hit publish. Now you can add hashtags. We'll see how that affects everything, but you add your hashtag, you go publish. You may, because it'll pop up and tell you to, one time publish to Twitter and Facebook. That is not enough. First of all, while the post itself is evergreen and will live forever on your profile and is searchable by LinkedIn search, the update to get people there, to drive people there, is spaghetti on the wall, just like Twitter, just like Facebook. So you've got to, once you have written your post, continue to let people know about it. Continue to share that post socially over all the different platforms. Additionally, don't worry about, oh my God, I can't repurpose it. Google will slap me. No, it won't. There's something about LinkedIn. Maybe it's because it's within the LinkedIn, under the LinkedIn umbrella. But there's no Google slap for repurposing your content. Now, you'll probably want to customize it up a little bit, just because of LinkedIn itself, the whole publishing, their publishing tool is a little wackadoodle. So that's an official term. So you're probably going to want to go in there and fix a few things, maybe change the title, adjust some of the formatting. But really, you know, you can absolutely repurpose the content that you've already got there. And what I'd love people to do, and what I do, is I look at that same article that's on LinkedIn and that's on my blog post. Look at the engagement. The views, I get way more views on my blog than I do on LinkedIn, but the engagement is exponentially more on LinkedIn. And that's another reason. So drive people to your post on LinkedIn and then engage with the people who actually like and comment on your post.
Okay, now let's get real. Is there a way to game the system? So here's what I'm getting at. I open up LinkedIn and there's a post or two in my newsfeed that has thousands and thousands of views and comments, and it's somebody I've never heard of. It's not a, you know, it's not a rock star. It's not a, you know, it's not a political candidate. It just appears to be somebody who posted something that day. So is there something going on that LinkedIn is looking for certain things and they're then pushing those to the main page kind of thing? Is that happening?
Yeah, so there's LinkedIn Pulse, right? So there's Publisher, which is the platform where you create your long-form post, and then there's Pulse, which is LinkedIn's newsreader, which actually is not as useful as it used to be, just saying. Yeah. So, yeah, there are certain articles that if they get the attention of a LinkedIn editor, which, by the way, is a real person, they can then move that post into the Pulse platform, which then gets you more visibility. Having said that, so when you post it, if you do tip and at LinkedIn Pulse, the idea is that the people on Twitter, not on LinkedIn, because why would LinkedIn editors be active on LinkedIn? No, on Twitter, LinkedIn Pulse are the LinkedIn editors, and so that they'll see that content. Now that I've shared it, of course, probably everyone's going to do it, and that's not going to work anymore either. But so there's a better chance of it being seen. Yeah, of course, there's always ways of gaming the system. So I'm sure that there are programs. I know for a fact there are programs out there that, you know, you buy followers and you put your article into that program, and then all those thousands of followers look at and share your post, and then all of a sudden you've gotten thousands of views.
Yeah, and I wasn't really talking about anything that's probably ultimately going to get you banned. I was just curious. If there were some things that you saw people doing that were moving, you know, content to the front of the line kind of thing.
Yeah, so the good things is, so that's a bad thing, and don't do that. Because in the end, it's all about the engagement. Well, if you just have a bunch of spam bots engaging with you, who gives a you know what? Yep, so yep. Don't risk your LinkedIn profile and your good reputation by using those scammy tools, in my humble opinion. Sure. What you can do, and what we did with one of my clients, well, we do this with all my clients, but my client Jean Bliss had the most success with this because she's already pretty well known in her industry anyway. But we repurposed her blog posts to LinkedIn, and then we went through her connections, and anyone who would be interested in her blog post anyway, but might not, you know, go to her blog or might not be signed up for her feed, we let them know. We sent a message, hey, you know, as the, you know, CMO of this company, I know you're probably frustrated with these customer service issues. That's why I wrote this post. You know, we'd love for you to check it out. Give us some feedback. Let me know if you have any questions. And not only did it just drive the visibility through the roof, because, of course, it's not just those people who see it. When they share it, their network sees it. And then so on and so forth and so on and so forth. So you've got a really good chance, if it's a well-written article, which her stuff is, to go viral. That's number one. But more importantly, we got a whole bunch of requests to do interviews and podcasts and things like that. So above and beyond just the visibility on LinkedIn, it drives business. And that's really the whole point of LinkedIn Publishers, is to drive business.
Right. And what a great, you know, example that I cite all the time of using, you know, your content now is your best asset for getting people interested, building trust. And so that's a great example of how to use it. Let's talk about a couple elements that I know you don't really cover this much in this particular book, but I know you certainly are aware of some best practices. Groups used to be great, and then they turned into, you know, giant spam pools. But there still are some groups that, you know, are unfortunately have to be heavily moderated or invitation only. And so there are some groups that make some sense to be in. From a, you know, personal branding authority standpoint, are groups worth your time?
No. Okay. I mean, here's the thing.
Okay, let's move on to the next topic.
With the caveat of, if you own your own group, it's still a good place to be. The problem with groups is LinkedIn really threw the baby out with the bathwater. Way too much spam. They changed the UI. Now there's no notifications, really, unless you've got the app, the iPhone app, because there isn't one for the Android. So if you've got the iPhone groups app, maybe groups are useful. If you're already active in a group, that's fine. It is easier to find, connect, and engage with people who you share a group with. So in that way, they're good. I mean, I didn't unconnect from all my groups. I'm still a member of groups. They're not driving traffic anymore. That's not where I'm focusing my time. However, if you own your own group and you have for a while, don't build a new group now. They're useless. But if you if you have your own group and you have for a while, it's still another platform where you can get your word out. But if you're going to invest time in LinkedIn, don't invest it on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm sorry, don't invest in LinkedIn groups. Invest on LinkedIn, not groups.
Right. So the last topic, and I've not been able to get anybody to give me the definitive answer to this, but LinkedIn advertising.
Facebook ads are better. No,
there's no question that that's the case. But have you found anybody able to use LinkedIn advertising in a way that was useful either for, you know, direct business or for at least making connections that make sense?
Yeah. So the thing about LinkedIn ads is they're not as effective, especially for the smaller investor. If you got 25K, LinkedIn ads are going to work all day long for you because you get access to a lot better tools. But for the smaller person whose ad budget is under, say, 5,000 and really under 500, you really want to focus your LinkedIn ads, number one, on super targeted markets. Like, get as close to that 1,000 person mark as you can, and then do several ads to that 1,000 person market. So that's it. So really micro target your ads and focus on sponsored updates. Don't do the text ads. They're useless. Focus on sponsored updates and really use those ads not to sell a thing, but to either build top of mind awareness around your brand or drive people to a lead magnet so that you can get them into your email funnel so that you can then actually utilize healthy content and automated marketing techniques. But as far as if you put $5 or $50 into a LinkedIn campaign, drive them to a text ad, I can promise you'll convert it to 25% conversion rate and make $5,000 off of it. No, LinkedIn ads don't work that way.
Yeah, and unfortunately they can be expensive. So you really do you know if you're doing them to build a list or to create awareness about a certain lead magnet or content upgrade, they can be expensive for that.
Yeah, it can be. But again, with the micro targeting, so my average ad, just so you know, my average ad doesn't run more than $100. It's usually more like $25. Mm. But I'm usually doing it when I'm heading over to, like for me personally, when I'm going to speak at a conference. I'll use it to build visibility around the conference, maybe get some of those people who are in my audience anyway to come to the conference so I can meet them face to face, so I can have dinner with them, so I can convert them. So that's really how I'm using ads. If you've got a new book coming out, it's great to build that awareness around the book. But to go, this much investment, but it doesn't have to be expensive. That's a common misconception. That's when people go for the too big of an audience. You have to be super targeted in the reason you're using ads, and you have to be super targeted in the audience that you're trying to reach with those ads. And then they work okay. That's my glowing recommendation.
So I'm curious. I'll spend one more minute on something you said because it was so specific. How, if you're going to a conference, how do you target down to what's the select for people that are also going to that conference?
Yeah, and this is why I love the ads. So I can select down to location, obviously. That's right. A given. Age and sex, and usually you just talk to the event coordinators and find out, who their purchaser persona is, who their ideal member is. So you can select by age, by industry, by keyword. So, mostly we have CMOs, directors of marketing here. So I can focus on that. I can, if they've got certain sponsors, I can focus on the sponsors, the companies that are sponsoring the event. If they have a list of attendees, and I'll say, you don't have to give me the list of attendees. I know you're not going to do that. But if you can give me the companies that these attendees are from, I can target them. So I can really get specific about who's going to be attending the audience. Obviously, it's easier if it's an industry event as compared to, say, just like a Tony Robbins type event that's going to attract all kinds of people. Right. If I'm speaking at Social Media Marketing World, I know pretty much who I'm targeting. If I'm speaking at, CMI, then I know pretty much who I'm targeting. So that's it. It really is extremely effective. But again, it's the micro targeting and it's the content marketing with the sponsored updates.
Awesome. Speaking with Vivica von Rosen, author of LinkedIn, 100 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand. So Vivica, so great having you with us. Tell people where they can find more information about you and specifically about this book.
Sure. So I'm at Vivica@linkedintobusiness.com. If you're old and you do email still, that's one way you can actually reach me. I do respond to email. Go figure. I'm at LinkedIn Expert on Twitter. I'm at LinkedIn Expert on Instagram. I'm LinkedIn Expert on YouTube. I'm LinkedIn Expert on LinkedIn. That was very handy. My website's linkedintobusiness.com. And I'm going to actually, I'm sending you right now a bit.ly link. So it's a little bit easier. It's bit.ly/buy101libook. Well, it seemed easier at the time. Or you could just go to Amazon.
We'll have that in the show notes, too, for those of you listening. Yep.
So it's in the show notes. Or just go to Amazon. It's LinkedIn:// 101 Ways to Rock. That'll take you to it probably take you to Dana's page because she's a more prolific author than I am, my co-author. But you'll find it there.
Awesome.
And yeah, we'd love for you to grab it. And of course, if you're an event that I'm at, I'm more than happy to sign a copy for you.
Awesome. Vivica, thanks so much for joining us. And I know we'll see you out there on the road.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sean.